You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm eager and excited to chat with Paul Rutter. Paul has been involved in the hospitality, travel, cruise industry for over 40 years, the last 30 as a cruise director in charge of onboard activities and entertainment. He's an expert in customer loyalty, employee engagement, repeat business, and improving customer experience. His latest book, You Can't Make This Ship Up, I love that title, was just released at the end of October. Please welcome author, speaker, and average golfer, Paul Rutter. Thanks for joining me, Paul.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Rob. Thanks so much.
Average golfer. I love that. I broke 100 once, so let me hear your golf story.
Well, I'm close there. I'm usually in the, depending, I haven't played in a while, but, you know, low to mid 90s, you know, if I have it, my handicap is, I don't know, somewhere around 20, 25, something like that. So people love having me on their teams because I get a lot of strokes.
Yeah, there you go. You know why they call it golf, right? All the other four letter words were taken.
Yeah, there you go.
So for those who don't know you or, you know, your background, Paul, maybe you could shed some light on your history.
Sure. Well, I come to you from the hospitality industry, from the travel industry, and more specifically, the cruise industry. As you mentioned in my intro, I've been working on board some of the largest and most luxurious cruise ships in the world as cruise director for the last 30 years in charge of onboard activities and entertainment. And so let me start out, Rob, asking you, have you ever been on a cruise?
Plenty, yeah.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about when I say that the cruise industry is one of the very few industries where we actually live with our customers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm. And so the first thing I do when I talk to land-based businesses is ask them the question, what if you had to live with your customers? How would you treat them differently? Would you answer phone calls a little more frequently? Would you, you know, return those emails? Would you get them the information if you promised them on a Friday? Would you make sure you got back to them on Friday? Because on board our ships, if we don't do what we say we're going to do, they're standing right in front of us. Yeah. And so we can't get away from them. So some of the largest ships in the world have over 6,000 guests. Excuse me. And combine that with the crew members on board, over 2,000 crew members on the largest ships in the world. So you have over 8,000 people on a metal boat in the middle of the ocean. You know, what could possibly go wrong in that scenario? And pretty much everything can go wrong. And so we have to be prepared for it. And so that's what we do. So not only do we live with our customers 24 hours a day, we also live with our employees 24 hours a day. So the person I just worked next to for 8 hours, at the end of our shift, I may go back to my cabin and that person may be my roommate because on board, most crew members live two to a cabin. They have their own private bath and TVs and refrigerators in there. So it's like a college dorm. Yeah. But that person you just spent 8 hours with could be your roommate or could live right next door. So employee engagement is extremely important to us. And as you probably know from your cruises, Americans on board are probably the minority. You know, let's over 2,000 crew on the largest ships in the world. There might be 50 Americans on board. And so how do you keep your employees engaged when you have employees from close to 70 different countries on board? Mm. And so that's a big thing for us on board because we know in our business, if you take care of your employees will take care of the customers. And so that's the age-old question. What comes first, the employee or the customer? And in our business, the employee comes first, because as I said, keeping your employees engaged, they will make sure to take care of the customers. And yeah. So that's a little bit about my background. I grew up in Connecticut. I got my job from walking my dog in Connecticut. I ran into my old high school principal who said, hey, how'd you like to work on a cruise ship, which I had never been on before, never even thought of. And so took my dog for a walk, came back with a job on a cruise ship, and the rest is history.
Nice. Yeah, I've been on several cruises. We've been on Royal Caribbean was our first and probably I think we've been on 5 or 6 of those. And then once on the Disney cruise.
Great. Excellent. Yeah, well, I'm currently with Royal Caribbean. I'm still waiting to go back out after the pandemic. And so, you know, obviously feedback from customers is important. You know, at the end of every cruise, you're going to fill out a comment card or a survey that's going to be mailed to you. And so it's really important to us that we exceed expectations, because we know at the end of every cruise, we're going to get a lot of feedback. And we welcome that feedback. And land-based businesses should welcome that feedback. Because if something is not exactly right, you need to know about it. You can't ignore those things, because I think we've learned from the pandemic, you cannot compete on price alone. There's always going to be a cheaper price right down the street or a click away. And so you have to compete on service. You have to compete on the customer experience and the journey along the way and all those touch points where your customers may want to come in contact with your business. And so that's why it's so important that the experience now is more important. Customer service is just one part of the customer experience.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too. I'm thinking about loyalty to a brand, and I'm loyal to Royal Caribbean, but I've never been on another cruise ship other than the Disney one. And I don't, you know, that's just Disney, but that's different. But meaning I have nothing to compare it to, but honestly, I guess by reading reviews and understanding the level of customer care that they gave to us, and I would never leave. I would never go on. I don't want to say I would never go on another cruise line, but they did the right thing by me every step of the way. So I'm a brand loyalist. That leads me into my first question, Paul. So first of all, what does loyalty mean to you in terms of like a brand? What does customer loyalty mean to Paul Rudder as a consumer?
Well, first of all, we love the fact that you're loyal to Royal Caribbean. Thank you very much. And that is part of our goal of exceeding expectations, to create such an exceptional experience that we exceed expectations. And what customer loyalty really means to me is, if there's a problem, which of course things happen as we say in our industry, ship happens. So loyalty is, if something goes wrong, I will stay loyal to you if you fix it in a timely manner and you fix it right the first time. And statistics will back that up, that customers will remain loyal to a brand if they know that that company will take care of them when there's a problem. Every company is excellent when nothing goes wrong. But that's how you judge a company, is when, if something goes wrong, how do they respond to your problems? Do they care? Are they willing to go that extra mile to make sure that their customers stay loyal? And so loyal to me is, even if things go wrong, even if it's on a cruise ship, as long as we take care of that problem, we continue to build trust. And that's what you're doing. You're forming a relationship. And certainly in the cruise industry, and you proved it by saying you probably wouldn't go anywhere, we want on our ships, we want you to book your next cruise before the current cruise is over. And if that happens 98% of the time, we know you're going to take your next vacation with us. Mm-hmm. So what if land-based businesses knew that if they do all the right things, that 98% of the time, your customers will come back to you? You don't have to do any more marketing. You don't have to go out and find new customers. 98% of the time, they'll return and they will become your brand ambassadors. They will sing your praises. I'm sure you've already said when you got back from your cruise, people said, how was the cruise? And you went, oh, it's great. We're going back. And so that's what we want, is for our customers to sing our praises to your neighbors, your friends, your family, because that's when recommendations really count, when it comes from somebody you know. Yeah. And so that's our goal, is to make sure that you come back to us and don't even think about going to the competition, even if we're more expensive.
Yeah, well, I agree. And, you know, I think the treatment that we got was fantastic. Just loved it. I don't know if we have another one planned in the future with the pandemic, but we will eventually. But we've got Safari on the bucket list. So let me ask you this, Paul. Other than Royal Caribbean, what is a brand that Paul Rudder is loyal to and why? And if you can answer in the form of like a story. So I had a gentleman on who was flying from Australia to the UK, and he had a stop in Southeast Asia. My listeners probably heard the story 10 times, but he gets to Southeast Asia. He needs a visa. And British Airways never told him he needed a visa. So he's panicking. He doesn't know what to do. Virgin Airways right next door says, come over here. We'll help you out. And they took care of him. He's been a Virgin Airways traveler ever since. So something like a story like that might resonate with some people about a brand that you're loyal to, and a story as to why.
Okay, well, I'll give you two. I'll give you a local story. There was a local business that was right. It was a jewelry store, and it was just as right down the street, 2 minutes away. And I would get, you know, watch batteries there, nothing major. I don't buy, you know, millions of dollars worth of jewelry. But if there was a problem, they would clean our jewelry. With my wife, we actually designed a piece of jewelry, and they were always wonderful to us. And they were always, the prices were good. The service was good. They did what they were saying. They did what they said they were going to do. Well, all of a sudden, I went there one day to change a watch battery. They're no longer there. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And there's a sign on the door. Oh, we moved away. And they probably moved 15 minutes away. And I went, oh, really now? I got to go that distance. It wasn't a big deal. But the fact is, I am still loyal to them. And I still go out of my way because of the trust that they built with me. So this is just a local example. There's other jewelry stores that are closer that I could have gone to, but I've remained loyal to them because of the trust that's been built up. And that, you know, there's a great book, The Speed of Trust, that is out there by Stephen Covey Jr., not the son of Stephen Covey of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And trust takes so long to build up, but you can lose it in a split second by doing the wrong thing. And so that's what companies need to do, is to build that trust and build those relationships. So that's a local example. They're still my jeweler. I still go out of my way to go to them, even though I have closer choices because I built that relationship. On a national level, there's so many brands that you can stay loyal to. So for instance, Amazon. Amazon is a great example where I had a problem with a product that they shipped to me. The shipper that was giving me problems, they just took over. They said, okay, listen, we're going to take it back. We're going to replace it for you. And they did. And they got in touch with the merchant and took care of it. And that's what people want. They don't want to have to spend time and energy and money fixing problems that they feel they didn't cause. So places like Amazon, Zappos is very well known as an online shoe store where their customer service agents will talk to you for hours. There's no limit on how quickly they have to get you off the phone, because that happens with a lot of call centers. I think there was a story about Zappos. One rep spent something like 14 hours on the phone with somebody. And they were allowed to, and they got applause, and they got credit, and they got accolades for doing that. And that's how you build those relationships. For brands, I'd say Ritz-Carlton has done an incredible job of fostering loyalty. You know, their motto is "Ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen," and that says it all. I just had to go to a Ritz the other day for a function there. Even the people parking your car at valet, oh, hello, Mr. Rutter, nice to see you. Here's the doorman, everybody. Their training is exceptional in customer service and hospitality. I'd also put Nordstrom in that category. Nordstrom stores, department stores, they go above and beyond. So national brands like that, but even loyal brands, a dry cleaner that might move away, you might want to stay loyal to them because they know they're going to clean your clothes the way you want them cleaned. So those are just a few examples of loyalty that's affected me.
I love it. Great stuff. So I have a couple of questions also, but I wanted to touch base on the title of your book. All right. So you have the title of your book. You've got "You Can't Make This Ship Up." And I love the play on the words there. So I haven't had a chance to read it, but it's coming out at the end of October.
Just came out. Yeah.
Just came out. 2 weeks ago. So give us a synopsis of the book.
So the subtitle is "Business Strategies, Life Lessons, and True Stories from 40 Years at Sea." So when I tell people I work on a cruise ship, the first thing they always say is, wow, you must have so many great stories from working on a ship. And the answer is yes, I have lots of great stories from working on a ship. And so what I've done in the book is relate these great stories and what land-based businesses can learn from them on how we handled it on board. So to give you an example, weddings are very big business on board the ships. And we have two types of weddings. We have an onboard wedding where the couple gets married the first day before the ship even sails. And then all the friends and family get off and then they go on their honeymoon. The second example of a wedding is a destination wedding where they might plan a wedding on the beach in Grand Cayman or Bermuda, but it's in the middle of the cruise. We had a few examples where people booked destination weddings. We actually had one wedding where friends and family flew to Grand Cayman to meet the ship when it got there. The problem was they booked these weddings during hurricane season. So what happens during hurricane season? Well, you sort of get hurricanes. Now, 95% of the time, we never get hurricanes and everything goes perfect. But of course, there's going to be those few examples where a week before the cruise and a week before the wedding, hurricanes are forming in the Atlantic and they're moving and everybody's watching them. And all of a sudden the Weather Channel becomes everybody's favorite channel that they're watching 24 hours a day. And a cruise ship will never mess with a hurricane. The ship can handle it, but the people on board cannot handle it. So we don't go where hurricanes are. We run and hide and go the other way. So unfortunately now we've inherited a problem of what do we do that we have a bride and groom who are extremely unhappy because their wedding isn't going to happen. We have friends who have flown to the island. Now they can't get off the island because the airport is closed. And now they have to go through a hurricane. The ship, of course, goes its own way and goes to sunny weather. So the rest of the passengers on board had a nice cruise. But now we have to deal with that problem. And so what do? Well, we empathize. We're compassionate. We do what we can on board. But they can't get married. And so we do things like send them to romantic dinners, send them to get couples massages, send them champagne and chocolate-covered strawberries to their cabin. So we empathize. They understand that we can do things except control the weather. That's the one thing in our power we cannot do is control the weather. So this is just one example of what we did. And I go more into detail in the book about how we handled these situations. But that's just one example of things that happen on board that we have to deal with, problems that we did not cause ourselves. And so other stories include what employees, crew members, things that happen on board. And a cruise ship, as you know from your cruises, is a microcosm of society. Everything that happens on land happens on a ship. And so that's the things that we have to deal with. And one example in the book, I know we're running out of time and I don't want to do that, but I had to deal with a clothing optional cruise. This is a cruise that once it goes 12 miles outside the legal limit, everybody's clothes are coming off. This is everybody clothing optional cruise. Okay, how do you deal with that? And how do you get your crew to deal with that as well? So those are just some of the great stories that have happened over 40 years at sea and how we deal with them.
That's great stuff. I'm definitely going to have to pick up the book. I enjoy reading stories about real life situations and how people react to them, because that is in and of itself, Paul, how real life works, right? There's nothing predictable except the fact that things are going to change, right? So, and adapting to that change in such a way that the other human being on the other side of that change is going to say, okay, I think you've done the right thing by me as best you could, given the circumstance, I'll give you another shot or I'll stick with you. So other than that, Paul, what is it? I noticed on your LinkedIn bio, you do public speaking, but is there anything else you do, like consultations for just regular companies?
Oh, absolutely. I've done speeches. I've done seminars. I do a half-day seminar. I can do a full-day seminar. I have something on my website that I've developed called the More Than Perfect Customer Service Model. And it's a model to help companies set up a wonderful customer experience and customer service. And so briefly, the model is broken down into four quadrants. You know, where are you now? What's your customer service strategy today? And are you happy with it? The next quadrant is, where would you like to go? What are some of the companies that you have seen that you would like to emulate? So Zappos or Amazon or Ritz-Carlton, you know, you see those companies with excellent customer service. You know, what would you like to do that mimics that? So that's the second quadrant. The third quadrant is training and getting those examples set up, because training is so important. Training is not just a one-time seminar for an hour and then you forget about it for the next 5 years. Training of your employees needs to be continuous. And in that training, we talk about the laugh model, which is how to deal with customers who are upset and what you can do to help placate them. And then the fourth quadrant is how to get your customers and your employees to be your raving brand ambassadors, to go out and sing your praises, to get you new business, and the follow-up and the follow-through, because following through is so very important. Even, you know, a handwritten note at the end of the day, oh, we hope we solved your problem. Please think of us again the next time you do business. So there's so many things that you can do. So on the website, which is paulrudderspeaks.com, there is the more than perfect customer service model that companies can learn about. So yes, I do all sorts of trainings and workshops and customer and keynote speeches as well.
Great stuff. And how often do you go on a cruise?
Well, the last couple of years during the pandemic, not very often, yeah. But we are starting to come back. More and more ships are coming back with the vaccines and with the guidelines and the social distancing. I'm hoping to go back in the middle of January of next year of 2022. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, the protocols are working. The company I work for, Royal Caribbean, has 14 ships right now that are sailing. Very few outbreaks of COVID. It's been extremely successful. The protocols are working. And so I hope to go back early in 2022 and to keep it going. The last 2 years before the pandemic, I was over in Asia sailing out of China, which was an absolutely incredible experience. And then we'll see how it goes next year. Not sure how much longer I'll do it for. Obviously, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but we'll see how it goes. But looking forward to getting back. I don't want the pandemic to end my career, that's for sure.
I hear you. Yeah. Well, we're definitely looking forward to a cruise. In fact, I'm in a poker club, and there's a cruise that's going, I think, to the Bahamas in February. But we were away visiting our daughter and granddaughter in North Carolina, so we didn't get to participate in it. I'm sure I would have won it, but anyway.
Of course.
No. So the example that you gave about the quadrant was excellent stuff. That's pretty in-depth. But what sort of quick, actionable advice could you offer our listeners to help them engage and create more loyal customers?
Well, the first thing I say to everybody is attitude is everything. If you don't have the right attitude, then you're lost. If you don't have the right attitude in hiring people, you know, there's an old saying, you hire for attitude, you train for skill. And I agree with that. Attitude is so important. You need to have people, especially on your front lines, your customer-facing employees, they need to have the right attitude that they're willing to do whatever it takes to solve a problem. And you read about some of the examples, let's say the Ritz-Carlton, where every employee has a $2,000 budget that they can use to solve a problem. Doesn't matter if it's a room attendant or somebody who's cleaning the lounges, whatever. And so I would say, make sure you empower your employees to take care of problems. The one thing that surveys have found that people hate repeating themselves. If there's a problem with your product or service, they don't want to call somebody up and tell them what the problem is. And then they say, oh, I can't help you. Here's my supervisor. And then you have to repeat the story over again. People hate that. It's one of the number one complaints about dealing with companies. So empower your employees, make sure they have the right attitude. And you can go from there and you can pretty much take care of any problem that comes along if you have the right attitude.
I couldn't agree more. I had to call Google yesterday about a Gmail account that I have where I'm forwarding it from one workspace to my main email account. It's an alias and it's a simple thing. And I've been on the computer for 30 years, 25 years. So it should have been something that I was able to figure out, but there was some little tweak in the back end that I wasn't aware of. And exactly like you said, Paul, I called the first guy. He tried to help me. It wasn't up to his speed. So he had to transfer me to someone. And I'm thinking, I have to explain the whole thing. She gets on the phone and she says, I forget the guy's name. He explained everything to me. Here's what you need to do. Boom, boom, boom. And I was like, that was just beautiful. And for a company the size of Google to be able to do that was fantastic.
And that should be the norm. But look how excited we are when that actually happens. How excited were you when you said, oh, I don't have to explain myself again? I mean, it's a revelation sometimes. Yeah. And again, that builds loyalty.
I love it. And it's like calling a company for the first time and saying representative. and then putting you right through to representative without them going through hurdles, which I can't stand.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, and they make commercials and spoofs about it because it's just ridiculous. Well, yeah. Again, Paul, I sincerely appreciate your time. If listeners want to get a hold of you, what's the best way they could do that?
Well, as I just mentioned, my website is www.paulrutterspeaks.com. My email is paul@paulrutterspeaks.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very big on LinkedIn that they can connect on. I have a Facebook page, Paul Rutter Speaks. I have a Twitter.
You're phone too, Paul I hear. Yeah.
My phone is ringing already. And I'm on Instagram at Paul Rutter Speaks, YouTube, Paul Rutter Speaks. So I have some videos out there that two to three minute videos about customer service and loyalty and engagement. So I'm more than happy to talk to anybody about the cruising industry, customer experience, customer service, employee engagement, all those great things.
Excellent. I'll put it up in the show notes. I appreciate your time, Paul. I want to thank you for your time and sharing your valuable insights with our listeners. If our listeners felt that they enjoyed the show and got something out of it, we would appreciate it a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service that helps the channel grow. If you know someone else who you think might enjoy listening to the program, please do share. To listen to this and other Loyalty Minute episodes, please visit theloyaltyminute.com. Thanks again, Paul.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of the Loyalty Minute.